The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is 91.3 KUAF, your source for NPR News for 32 years, and this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, February 10th, 2017. I'm Kyle Callums. In about 10 minutes, arguments at the state Supreme Court yesterday over the city of Fayetteville's ordinance, including sexual identity, as civil rights protection. First, after a few weeks of scheduling conflicts, Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics is back with us. He's in Fort Smith. I'm in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Welcome back, Michael. All right. So now you and I haven't talked, I think, in almost a month.
Yep.
And there's no way we can.
We haven't talked since there was another president.
No, we have not. No, we have not. So there's been some news. We can't cover it all.
No.
Let's concentrate on what's happening kind of in the last 72 hours or so. And I'm going to begin with wine. There's been a change in how or where people can get some kinds of wine in Arkansas.
Well, they're pushing. They're pushing for a change. This has been an interesting fight to watch, Kyle. It's almost like watching the two bullies on the playground getting a fight. You know, you really don't have any sympathies either way. Maybe that's a little too simplistic. But what we're trying to happen is essentially end what has for a long time been somewhat of a monopoly by these dry county liquor store owners, other grandfathered liquor store owners with alcohol permits, and open it up more to grocery store chains, Walmart, Kroger, those type of folks. And obviously, there's some pushback. You know, the folks that have had some protections, so to speak, some may assert monopolistic protections, aren't liking this. And the argument is that, you know, the big guys, the big well-capitalized guys like Walmart will push the small store liquor store folks out of business. And the grocery store association is saying, look, you know, this should be a free market, like, you know, selling anything, selling cigarettes or bread or whatever. So that fight is going on. And so far, the bigger guys, so to speak, the grocery store owners are winning in this. Unless this gets bottled up, I know that it was pulled. There was supposed to have been some action yesterday, Thursday, and I think it was pulled by both sides. I think there's some renegotiation going on. Governor Asa Hutchinson has not yet weighed in, but I suspect there's some background stuff going on, because both of these, you know, even though you've got Walmart and some of the big folks backing, there's still a lot of influence and money on the other side of the equation. So legislators and governors are clearly wanting to make sure the sides are as happy as possible on working this out. My concern is that as we watch these two big interests fight it out, that let's just hope the consumer doesn't get lost in all of this.
Well, you know, it's, you know, those Sudoku puzzles that make
yes.
me, that's the alcohol rules in almost every state, right? You've got a one here and a three here, because you've got these other rules about how close you can be to a church or a school to sell things. And sometimes grocery stores, because they haven't thought about this before, are within those zones. So will that take effect?
Well, that's part of the legislation. That's part of the argument from the other side, from the small liquor store owners, is that you could essentially be violating, you know, past policy. And you're right. Arkansas liquor law is just pretzel logic to try to figure it out. And, you know, I remember as a young man going to, I stayed in Washington, D.C. one summer. I was talking about a dry county, and someone literally thought I meant in terms of, you know, rainfall. And I had to explain, you know, no, that we have some counties where you just, you know, you can't sell alcohol. And it just blew their mind. So, you know, when you can open on Sunday, when you can't, and, you know, you've got the club permit rules about you can, you know, if it's a wink-wink club in a dry county, you can get a drink. So, you know, this, to your point, this begs a larger question of, is it time to reform, just completely back away? I mean, I talked to a former director of the Alcohol Beverage Control one time, and I know it's cliche, but he was serious. He said, you know, this Arkansas's laws were really created by Baptists and bootleggers working together to make sure they protected each other's interests.
They say politics make strange bedfellows. Alcohol yes. makes stranger bedfellows.
Yes, and up until the point they're no longer sober.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, it's winding its way through. It is incredibly interesting to see what will happen with this.
Yeah, we're watching closely, but yeah, this could change the rules.
Well, let's talk about a program that's going to launch later this year between the Greater Fort Smith Association of Home Builders and Fort Smith Public Schools, this sort of apprentice program. This sounds very interesting.
It is interesting, and this is the direction I think, we've heard a lot with the Northwest Arkansas Council, Arkansas about needing more skilled trades and that type of thing. Well, this is what home builders here in Fort Smith are trying to do, trying to provide those training skills. And the thing I like about this program is that you have these home builders, these construction foremen, these folks who know what they need and don't need in terms of curriculum and training, working with the school district to provide this. And so they are going to launch this through the Adult Education Center with the Fort Smith Public School District. It'll be focused on real skills. You know, it's the curriculum. It will not be academic in terms of the usual academic. It'll be skills based. They'll talk about, it'll include job placement services. There'll be even some mentoring that goes with it. Some pre-apprenticeship training. A lot of this is built on programs that have already proven successful around the country. So they're not reinventing the wheel. They're just bringing what has worked elsewhere to Fort Smith. And I don't know this for certain, Kyle, but I've been told this is the first of its type of program in the state. I mean, there are woodworking shops in high school, but in terms of at this level with this kind of coordination, it's the first. I'm not going to say it absolutely is, but if it is, let's hope that it expands out into other communities.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about building. The building permits for 2017 for the Arkansas River Valley, especially Van Buren, Greenwood, and Fort Smith, are up compared to the same time last year.
Yes. Now, 1 month does not make a trend, but the January numbers were up very nice. And the reason that's a good start, it was the numbers in 2016 were down a little over 2% compared to 2015. But 2015 was pretty good. You had, the osteopathic college going up and that type of thing. But January starts out with an 84% increase in permit values. And, some of that is for medical clinic construction. Some of that's for the Gladfelter, the people that bought the Mitsubishi building and are moving that in. So you've got like a $3 million permit for that, some of that going on. But we're also seeing some continued, speaking of need for home building skills, we're still seeing a good, healthy clip. Now, it's not anywhere near what we're seeing in Northwest Arkansas or Jonesboro, but we're still seeing a good clip in terms of home construction in the Fort Smith area. So again, 1 month does not a trend make, but it's always nice to get off on the right foot.
And that hailstorm from last April still showing up in the building permits, isn't it?
It is, and that is that's amazing. We're still seeing some commercial. A lot of the residential stuff had to be fixed for obvious reasons. You don't want people living, with a leaky roof. But we're starting to see some of the commercial damage be replaced on commercial properties. So that will continue, but. No, you don't want a hailstorm. Nobody wants a hailstorm to come through, but at least the upside is it's been good for business if you're in the construction sector.
Yeah, we'll talk to insurance agents next week, get their take on it.
Yes, right. Yeah.
All right. Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. You can find out much more about all of these stories and so many more at talkbusiness.net. Welcome back, Michael. Talk to you Monday.
All right. Thank you, sir.
What if you were sick and got the wrong diagnosis? I'm Guy Raz. Misdiagnosis, that's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
TED Radio Hour, Sunday afternoon at 1 on 91.3 KUAF. This is a Friday edition of Ozarks at Large. The Arkansas Supreme Court heard oral arguments yesterday morning about whether municipal civil rights ordinances, which ban discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity, violate Arkansas law. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
The Arkansas legislature in 2015 passed Act 137 in response to Fayetteville and the gay-friendly city of Eureka Springs passing civil rights ordinances banning discrimination based on gender identity and sexual orientation. Sponsored by Arkansas Republican Senator Bart Hester, District 1 Cave Springs Act 137 prohibits cities and counties from passing civil rights ordinances that create a protected classification or prohibits discrimination on a basis not contained in state law. Arkansas Civil Rights Code doesn't specifically include protections for sexual orientation or gender identity. Opponents to Fayetteville Civil Rights Ordinance, organized as Protect Fayetteville, filed a lawsuit to block the ordinance in early 2016. Washington County Circuit Court Judge Doug Martin ruled the ordinance does not violate state law. That triggered Arkansas Attorney General Leslie Rutledge to file an appeal to the Arkansas Supreme Court last year in defense of Act 137. Oral arguments opened with Arkansas Solicitor General Lee Radofsky speaking for Protect Fayetteville and the state of Arkansas.
The act was intended to ensure statewide uniformity of discrimination law and prevent a patchwork of varying discrimination laws in the 500-plus localities in Arkansas.
City Attorney Kit Williams, who represents Fayetteville, argued before the court that Fayetteville's non-discrimination ordinance is moderate and complements state law.
Our particular ordinance that was passed by the citizens, it incorporated virtually every definition from the Arkansas Civil Rights Statute, Arkansas Fair Housing Statute. We used established law. Every exemption and privilege and exclusion that was in the Arkansas Civil Rights Act was included, and even the religious one was even strengthened. We did not attempt to give gay and lesbian and transgender people any more rights than anybody else in the state of Arkansas.
While an Arkansas public school student and employee anti-bullying code recognizes sexual orientation and gender identity, Arkansas Civil Rights Act does not. It lists race, color, national origin, religion, sex, disability, and genetic information.
Reaffirm the values of inclusiveness and tolerance.
Danielle Weatherby is Associate Professor of Law at the University of Arkansas. She helped draft Fayetteville's Civil Rights Ordinance. She says the heart of this Arkansas Supreme Court case is statutory interpretation.
The city of Fayetteville's interpretation of existing law that because certain state laws already protect, for example, students in schools from bullying on the basis of their sexual orientation and gender identity, the Fayetteville Non-Discrimination Ordinance simply extends those existing protections to other areas such as housing, employment, and places of public accommodation.
Danielle Weatherby, who spoke to us while on a modified University of Arkansas work schedule after having a baby, says this case is of national importance because other states are passing and considering measures similar to Act 137.
And really at the crux of this lawsuit is the constitutionality of that very act. So other states will be looking at what Arkansas does here in this case as a guidepost for what happens in their own states.
If the Arkansas Supreme Court upholds Act 137, defendants will appeal the decision to the U.S. Supreme Court.
If the United States Supreme Court were to accept review, then the United States Supreme Court's decision on the constitutionality of laws like the Interstate Commerce Improvement Act would become nationwide law.
An amicus brief filed in support of case defendants does cite that the United States Supreme Court has repeatedly made clear that laws enacted in order to disadvantage a particular group are unconstitutional. A decision from the state Supreme Court is expected in the coming weeks. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale is dealing with something that's never happened to them before. In the last week, they found someone had vandalized an installation that had been on display at the gallery. The installation, called Possessions, by local artist Ben Edwards, was taken down as scheduled on Wednesday after it had been up for several weeks. We talked with Edwards about his exhibit when it went up last month. Here, he talks about the portion of the installation that was later vandalized.
It's wall to wall, floor to ceiling, and then covering the floor more. You know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of drawings, like I said, spanning over 30 years. Everything. I would like to think most of it's good, but, you know, maybe some of it's junk. You know, what I still have in my possession, for whatever reason, which in some ways is miraculous in and of itself, considering all the various lives I've led and places I've lived and so forth.
The executive director of Art Center of the Ozarks, Jenny Taylor Swain, says the venue believes Edwards' work was vandalized sometime last Thursday or Friday, but they didn't know the true extent of the damage until Monday of this week. Swain says part of the reason for that is the way the work was displayed.
You could walk into that studio and not see everything because there really is literally hundreds of drawings. But then once you really started looking, we began to see how much of it had been written on.
Swain says someone had used a magic marker to write on Edwards' work phrases like bad art and make America great again, and one that we can't say on air. She says they were excited to be able to find time in their calendar to display such a large installation.
It was disappointing because we were, like I said, so excited about this artwork. The Art Center of the Ozarks is going through a transitional period, and we've been spending the last 6 months really looking at ways to engage the community. So we've been excited in the new efforts and programming that we've been laying out. So when something like this happens, it is disappointing.
Jenny Taylor Swain says it'll be nearly impossible to figure out who had vandalized the artwork, but she did file a police report.
Anytime there's an action that involves a sense of bullying and a sense of using derogatory terms, that you need to be aware of it, and the community and the police need to be aware of it.
And while she says there is a sense of disappointment, she also says the Art Center staff and board have had the opportunity to reflect on what they do and why they do it.
The arts provide a unique opportunity to bring diverse voices together in a safe and in a place that we don't normally get to participate. And so when something like this happens, it reaffirms that role and gives us confidence to continue forward in the work that we're doing.
Another exhibition is going up at the ACO in Springdale a week from today. It's called On the Brink, On the Brim, On the Cusp. It explores the borders and boundaries perused through various mediums by artists from Northwest and Central Arkansas. And beginning tonight, you can see the musical The Last 5 Years. It goes on through the weekend. For more information, acozarks.org. And if you want more information about all kinds of theater going on this weekend, stick around. Becca Martin Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette will have a lineup. And ahead on Ozarks, songwriters from around the world are gathering on Mount Sequoia this week to write songs. Many of them have never met, but they're already creating music.
Let's do it.
How does it start? Do I just do a little bit?
I'll just jump in.
From their minds and hearts to our Furman Garner Performance Studio in about 24 hours. That's ahead on today's show.
A Chicago crime reporter who's covered the city's growing homicide problem says it takes a toll on everyone.
Some things you don't find troubling right away until you're at home much later. Some things are troubling right in front of your very eyes and you're trying to make sense of it.
William Lee of the Chicago Tribune on the beat he still chooses. Saturday on Weekend Edition from NPR News.
That's tomorrow morning from 7 to 9 on 91.3. KUAF. A photo of a banner hanging over downtown Fayetteville was recently shared around the country for its inclusion of the phrase Black Lives Matter in conjunction with a citywide Black History Month celebration. The banner was actually up last year, too, but this year, the right person took a photo of it and posted it on Twitter at the right time, And one of the themes of Fayetteville's Black History Month is Black Lives Matter. A workshop held this past weekend addressed the movement and how the white community should approach becoming involved. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek has this report.
More than 50 people showed up at the community room at the Fayetteville Public Library Saturday afternoon for a workshop called Allies for Equality. Everyone got a name tag and some received pins with the words Ally for Equality on them. Then everyone took their seats in groups of four or five around the table set up in the room. The crowd was mostly made up of white people, with the exception of a few, like Julia Sampson, who is African American.
So I wanted to make sure that, or be certain that people who would like to sign up as allies are prepared and equipped with truthful information or information that I might be able to add from my side of my life of living in brown skin in Northwest Arkansas and being a brown skin person living in America.
A few minutes before the workshop started, Sampson said she was hesitant about the conversation that was about to be had and wasn't sure if she would stay for the whole thing.
Sometimes that people want to do good and really don't have facts, or the facts are not correct or true, in trying to help, it may do more harm or hurt.
Sampson did end up staying the whole 2.5 hours, and we did this interview after the presentation was over.
The workshop content and the workshop participants today, the workshop participants were very good today, so many of my fears were allayed.
The workshop was led by Heather Pratt, the Director of Formation and Evangelism at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church.
I'm from Pennsylvania and Maryland, so yes, I am a Yankee. Any other Yankees here in the room today? All right. And I want to mention that because it does affect our views of racism. So you'll see me come back to that a little bit later in the workshop as well.
Like most of her audience, Pratt is white.
I feel like it's essential for somebody to get up there and be vulnerable, and definitely as a white person speaking to other white people, that's really what we're trying to encourage with this workshop, is to get out there and have those hard conversations that members of the Black community can't necessarily have. They're not in those circles. They run in different circles often, and so this just gives us the opportunity to have conversations with whoever we're around.
Pratt focused the discussion on the best way for the white community to get involved in a Black movement. She asked the groups around each table to talk about some of the questions she posed. One of them, what holds you back from having discussions about racial inequality?
Maybe it's not taken the right way.
Defensiveness.
Defensiveness. When I try to say I want to be a part of it and the other side pushes back that I'm not welcome, that's happened to me. But then that's where it stops, because I'm ignorant of
ignorance.
What I need to know.
Pratt says it comes down to really listening to the Black community, truly paying attention and empathizing.
As an ally, there's a place for us, so a way for us to participate in such a way that we don't come in and try to take over or make it all about us and, you know, look at this wonderful thing that I just did, you know, because that really isn't what it's about. And that's one of the things that I was really happy to talk about in the workshop today, is what exactly is it that our Black brothers and sisters want us to do as allies? How do they want us to support them? So, you know, really learning from them and trying to get that information out to more people.
The workshop was put on by Compassion Fayetteville and their Black History Month team. DeAndre Jones is a co-leader.
What we're looking at is utilizing this month. This month will be a springboard to creating allies and to furthering the truth that Black Lives Matter. But in order to do that, in order to do the work, in order to advance equality, any group has to have allies, and this is certainly no different.
Jones says presentations like the one held Saturday are a good way to bring together people from different parts of the community in one place to have what can be a difficult but important conversation.
If we can determine an effective way to communicate and to have these conversations throughout the community and to invite the community, That's a start, and that's a step in the right direction. So we felt that by opening, by creating a community forum or hosting a community conversation that educates, and of course, when there's education, I believe that empathy awakens, and then there's compassion, and then there's a change.
And while Julia Sampson was at first hesitant to stay for the whole workshop,
I think more and more white people are coming to see that that race and the post-racial America is not happening, and that race and racism do matter in this society, and that it's the duty of white people to help end and dismantle racism. So I'm very, very hopeful for that, because that's something that only white people can do.
Sampson says she was encouraged by what she saw and heard.
As fearful as it may be, as uncomfortable as it may be, we have a body of people who are semi-equipped to take on the role of being allies and to talking about some of those conversations that need to happen. And those are courageous conversations. There's no way to sugarcoat it, and there's no way to make it, you know, easier or anything like that. They're long overdue.
Compassion Fayetteville has another Allies for Equality workshop scheduled for next Thursday, February 16th. It'll be held at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church from 5:30 to 8 p.m. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
And Compassion Fayetteville has several other events scheduled for the next few weeks in celebration of Black History Month. You can go to their website, compassionfayetteville.wordpress.com, and click on the events calendar tab.
It's the Community Spotlight on KUAF. I'm Pete Hartman. We're in the Furman Garner Performance Studio this Friday morning with Joseph Fletcher and Erica Wilhite of Artists Laboratory Theater in Fayetteville. First of all, thanks for coming up. Good seeing y'all.
Good to see you. Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Listeners, you may, of course, know these two from Sunday Night Service, a program that's heard Sunday nights at 7 on KUAF. Artists Laboratory Theater just recently moved. Is this correct?
Yeah, we moved into 1030 South College Avenue, okay. The old Christadelphia Church, across from the Senior Activity Center and just down the street from Walker Park. So
nice.
We are nestled into a South Fayetteville residential neighborhood. And the space is a one-room congregation, and we have a small little stage there, an intimate house of about an audience of about 60 people. And then in the other half of the building, we have our administrative offices. And so we are there all week long, making the thing run. And then we're producing events at the space, and we're hosting a lot of events at the space. But yeah, we just moved in there in September, and we've been very busy since. And so we're building a nice little atmosphere there, kind of a scene
And you know what excites me is we're also doing a lot of these listening parties. So we're really engaging with the community and really wanted to get to know Southtown as, you know, new neighbors there. The heart of everything we make with Artists Laboratory Theater comes back to the community because we have such diverse programming. You know, we do a radio show. We do things that look more like actual theater.
Exactly.
But we also, like, do facilitations with the community. But all of it ties back to the community. So it gives us this ability to interact, see, and share with our community in a much stronger and more frequent way that just improves our work and our capacity for doing more for everyone.
Which leads us right into this evening's performance, Who's He What's It?
It's a spin on those classic panel game shows from like the 60s, 70s, the 50s.
Okay.
There's similarities between like Match Game or To Tell the Truth or Hollywood Squares. Exactly. But we've changed the rules, changed it up, made it more faithful specific. So for instance, like our Hollywood Squares version is called Fayetteville Fact Check. So we look for things in the news, and you ask a panel, you choose a panelist, they get asked a question, you get to choose if you agree or disagree with them. So we have your own Katie Hendrickson will be on the show as one of our panelists.
Nice.
Doug Calderon, who's a stay-at-home dad, Mark Beasley, who's a local comedian, and Laura Phillips, who does a lot of activism work, are all going to be the panel. And of course, it's hosted by Mark Landon Smith, multi-talented wonder of a man.
Joe, what's showtime this evening?
It's going to be 8 o'clock.
Okay. Maybe show up 7:30?
Yeah, I'd get there a little bit early. Okay. We'll have some drinks and stuff.
Excellent.
It's a great time just to meet and chat with people.
If folks want to know a little more information on their own, what's the best way to go?
You should check us out at artlabtheater.com. And do check out the calendar because we've got those events stacked up at the lab. And also at large, I mentioned we're going to be abroad in Northwest Arkansas with that radio show. So check us out.
Nice. Erica Wilhite, Joseph Fletcher, thank you all for coming up.
Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Always fun.
For more on community events, events that might be taking place in your community this evening, check our community calendar at KUAF.com.
SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, presents its Masterworks 2 concert March 4th at Walton Arts Center. It will feature Beethoven's iconic Fifth Symphony, Arvo Pärt's Fratre for Strings and Percussion, and guest violinist Alex Kinney performing Sibelius' Concerto for Violin. Tickets available at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org. And 91.3 is supported by Highlands Oncology Group, helping patients fight the battle every day with a team of cancer specialists in both Benton and Washington counties. Services include American College of Radiology certified imaging departments, infusion centers, pharmacy, clinical trials, and more. HighlandsOncologyGroup.com.
That's bassist Jamie Owsley in the background. Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday night from 10 till midnight on KUAF 91.3 and on KUAF HD Radio Saturday morning from 11 a.m. till 1 p.m. We'll hear more from Jamie Owsley. We'll also hear Cecile McLaurin-Salvant, Skip Wilkins, Eldar, and much more. Shades of Jazz right here on KUAF.
It is Friday, the 10th day of February 2017. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
If you happen to love someone who loves theater, mm-hmm. and if you don't, what's the matter with you? But if you do, all your Valentine's Day work is done for you.
Well, how fun is that?
There's a buffet of theater in our listening area this weekend and next. All you got to do is pick a show and buy the tickets. I'm trying to help you here.
All right, so let's go.
Young Frankenstein.
The Mel Brooks film, then turned Broadway production.
So excited about this. Quote of the day, Ed McClure, who is the director of the Arkansas Public Theater production, says, if the producers and Rocky Horror had a baby, Young Frankenstein would be it.
Who's doing the makeup for this? Do you know? I mean, because you've got to create the monster.
I don't know, and I haven't seen the monster because we don't want to spoil it.
Right.
But I do know that there's singing and dancing and big musical numbers and a monster walking on very high shoes that you might call stilts. Here's the thing. This is also a great quote. Mel Brooks and Gene Wilder were on the set of Blazing Saddles. Gene Wilder came up with the premise of the grandson of Victor Frankenstein, who pronounces the last name Frankenstein because he's ashamed.
Right.
Inheriting the castle and deciding being a mad scientist might not be so bad. When he talked to Mel Brooks about it, Mel Brooks wanted to come aboard and Wilder said, here's the restriction. You can't be in the film.
Which for Mel Brooks was different at that time. He had been in most stuff.
And Mel Brooks told Parade magazine in 2013, he said, am I such a bad actor? And Gene Wilder said, no, but I don't want it to be crazy comedy. I want it to be a real movie with natural comedy. And so that's what they did. The film won a Hugo for Best Dramatic Presentation. It was nominated for Oscars and Golden Globes and was honored as Best Horror Film.
Yeah. And now as someone who loves the Universal Frankenstein monster movies with Boris Karloff. Mm-hmm. They did it on the same sets, and it was with, you know, it's in black and white. Anyway, it's very much an homage to those original films.
And so is the musical.
Yes.
Reed Shelton is playing Dr. Frankenstein, and he said he loved horror movies as a kid, and they watched them as a Halloween tradition. And the first time he saw it, he expected it to be a horror movie and fell in love. He's played the lead before in Paragould, and now he's back. When he's not playing another role, he's a radiologic tech at the Pat Walker Health Center and at the Fayetteville Diagnostic Clinic because he's starting medical school in the fall. That's funny.
Yeah.
You gotta love that. Okay, the show opens at 8 o'clock tonight, 8 tomorrow, 2 on Sunday, and again the next two weekends. Tickets start at $23 at Arkansas Public Theater in Rogers.
All right.
Down the road at the Art Center of the Ozarks.
In Springdale.
Something new for them, a little musical, The Last 5 Years, which theater people love. It's two characters who are telling the story of their relationship. One's telling it from the beginning, one's telling it from the end. Sounds like it's going to be heartbreaking. Hmm. Betsy Jilka, who if you are an ACO fan, you've known since she was a little girl, is playing the female role. And if you're a theater fan in Northwest Arkansas, Bryce Kemp is playing the male role. And showtimes are 7:30 today and tomorrow and 3 on Sunday, one weekend only now at the ACO.
Okay, that's right.
$15 for tickets. Down at Fort Smith Little Theater. Another great date show, Sense and Sensibility.
That's the one with Mr. Darcy.
Yes, that's the Jane Austen novel. Mm-hmm. She only wrote 6 books. Did you know that?
I guess I hadn't really thought about it.
All that fuss over Jane Austen, who I've never been especially fond of, but she only wrote 6 books. And some of this story is some of her story, mm-hmm. some of her life. It's a stage adaptation by Kate Hamill, who has pared down some of the characters, because there's a bunch of them, and has sort of a Greek chorus that takes care of that.
Fills in the gaps in mm-hmm. the narration. Gotcha.
And it's here's the fun part. One sister, Eleanor, is the sense, and then Marianne is the sensibility. And so it comes out with the idea that Eleanor needs to lighten up and Marianne needs to chill. Okay. 7:30 today and tomorrow, 2 on Sunday. And again, next weekend, tickets are $12. And then next weekend at St. Paul's Episcopal Church, where everything happens in Fayetteville, Magdalen Serenity House is hosting Stacey Erickson's original play, The Fairest Flame, which is the story about the end of Joan of Arc's life. Hmm. Not sure that's date night for me, but it is if...
Sure.
Yeah. And that's 8 o'clock on the 17th and 18th, and 2 on the 19th, $10 suggested donation. And then if you want theater but something completely different, Circus mm-hmm. Oz is in town.
Yes.
They actually get here Wednesday and have 7 shows between Wednesday and Sunday at the Walton Arts Center. Tickets for that start at $25, and you can find out more about that at waltonartscenter.org. Don't screw up. It's Tuesday, guys.
Valentine's Day, you mean. Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Is that it?
That's it.
Becca Martin Brown, features editor of the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Did you know the University of Arkansas has a space lab? But it's not orbiting the Earth. I'm Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto Manager with the U of A Center for Space and Planetary Science.
Join us this Friday at 2:04 p.m. during Science Friday for the premiere of KUAF's own science-based segment, Scratching the Surface, with Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto Manager. Caitlin works in the U of A's Space and Planetary Sciences Department, and each week she'll bring us the latest information about our solar system, with discoveries made from the U of A Space Lab. For more on the University of Arkansas Space and Planetary Sciences Department, or for segments of Scratching the Surface, spacecenter.uark.edu. Scratching the Surface with Caitlin Ahrens, the Pluto Manager, debuts this Friday, 2:04 p.m. on KUAF.
Art Center of the Ozarks presents Jason Robert Brown's The Last 5 Years, February 10th through the 12th. This musical follows the love of a young couple, starring local actors Betsy Crouch-Jilka and Bryce Kempf, with the directorial debut of Lydia Corbell. ACOzarks.org for tickets and more information. The second annual Fayetteville Gumbo Cook-Off is Saturday, February 18th from noon to 6 p.m. at the Washington County Fairgrounds. A gumbo cooking competition, beer from local breweries, and live music will be provided. A portion of proceeds will benefit the local JDRF Diabetes Foundation. Tickets available through eventbrite.com. The House of Songs Project is a dream realized by Troy Campbell. He's a singer and songwriter from Austin, Texas. His idea was pretty simple. Songwriters from around the world are put together, many of them meeting each other for the first time, and then allowed to write songs together. This weekend, Ozark's version of the House of Songs is taking place on top of Mount Sequoia in Fayetteville. Last night, 3 of the visiting songwriters and 1 local came to our Furman Garner Performance Studio. Kaya Cater from Toronto came to Fayetteville Tuesday with her banjo after playing a gig in Montana. Minnesota-born John Elliott, now a resident of San Francisco, also came to the studio, as did Rebecca DeGaval from Sweden. Rebecca, I tried on the last name. Sorry. With them was Brian Hembry of Fayetteville, one half of the duo of Smokey and the Mirror. They played music for us, debuted music for us, and they talked about what's happened since Tuesday night. Kaya Cater says the creativity started quickly.
Well, we got paired up.
Okay.
So these guys were like, yeah, I think these two will do something cool. And so I got paired up with John the first day, and it was horrible. A train wreck.
Which was yesterday. Yeah. It was interesting because Troy, one of the other founders of the organization, House of Songs, said there are two types of songs. There's the kind that you agonize over and you work on and you write on it and you whittle it and it takes years sometimes. And then there's the ones that are magical that just drop out of the sky and in 4 minutes you have a song. And that's kind of what happened to us.
Yeah, it was like 4 minutes.
With the one song. I was playing through a progression and we were singing it and it was done. I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
So a song written since last night.
Yeah, yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I got paired up with this Tom Levin from Sweden, from Stockholm, and he and I sat down, and in 2 hours we had a song, and it felt very natural and very easy. I think the idea is we're all songwriters on a regular basis, and so if you put us all in the same room and give us a challenge and pair us up creatively, you're going to get an interesting song pretty quickly.
Kai, who'd you get hooked up with?
So I got hooked up with C.S. Nielsen.
Yeah, from Denmark?
From Denmark, the first day. And then today I got paired up with Gareth
Averill
and
Bernice
from Ireland, yeah. and Bernice, who's from here. And so both of these experiences were honestly like my first time ever co-writing. And so I was pretty nervous coming into this, and it's been really great. Like, it's pulled me out of my comfort zone, which I felt already really needed to happen. And Brian was saying earlier today something that he said really resonated with me, which was, you know, one of the points of the House of Songs is just to get you into a place where, you know, you're well-fed, you're comfortable, you have all the instruments that you need around you, you know, there's curation happening, there's, you know, they've spent a lot of time on the front end making sure that, as Brian said, we get to 60 miles an hour, we start at 60 miles an hour and can go to 120, rather than being, you know, personally in my unheated room in my crappy apartment in Toronto trying to, like, write a song maybe between, like, doing my laundry and paying my bills, which is, it seems to me that as my career grows, I have less and less time to create, which is, I think, one of the great juxtapositions and calamities of being a songwriter.
You get more successful and you've got less time.
Exactly. Yeah. And often your mind has to be more analytic in its function. And so House of Songs has really been helping me sort of like peel away a lot of my own maybe my own insecurities about writing or like my patterns or, you know, whatever I gravitate towards so that I can explore different parts of myself.
It's interesting because everybody comes from has heard different music, you know? So I was writing with a Danish artist a couple years ago, also through House of Songs, and I remember, like, in her presence and her ethereal Danishness, the traditional folk chords to me, I felt like were uncool, you know? So I'd be working on the song with her and I'd do something, and I'd know that she would think it was uncool, and she'd be like, no, something different, you know, something different. And then you'd find something a little funkier, and then that would work for both of you, you know? But then what I wrote today with Adam Cox, who's a local songwriter, and we just wrote a folk hymn, basically, like a gospel hymn. You know, that would never happen. That would never happen with the two of us.
No.
You know? So.
I can never write that.
Yeah.
What you guys did today was awesome.
And we could never write what you wrote. You know, it's just interesting.
Yeah.
I've kept you away a while from this house, but could you indulge me in some music?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, John and Rebecca, I think, you probably win the first complete song award,
maybe,
if that was a thing.
It was pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean,
the song was pretty fast. The lyrics we've been whittling. We just got the last line today.
Yeah,
Rebecca came up to me at the house. Here's an example, perfect example. Mm. We were at the house about ready to leave, and Rebecca came over and goes, "Hey, I think that line should be," whatever it was, and it's like, "Yeah, that's great. It's done. We did it.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's do it."
How does it start? Do I just do a little bit?
Yeah, I'll just jump in.
Leaving you tonight, oh mama, don't you cry, no, no, no.
That's yours, right?
Yeah, it is. She's mine.
Does she have a name?
Not yet.
Okay.
We're still getting to know each other.
Sure.
I got her in September. It's my birthday present to myself. She's a gold tone banjo, for any nerds out there. And I play the open back claw hammer banjo, which is a little different from the closed back resonator bluegrass banjo. And I write a lot of my songs on the banjo, and I play a lot of old time music, a lot of fiddle music. It's actually one of the other aspects of being here, is that it's really cool to be here in the Ozarks, because I'm a fan of Ozark fiddle music, and I spent some time in the mountains in West Virginia. I went to school there, but I've always had a sort of a desire to visit here and get to know some of the traditions, and it's been really cool to be able to check out the town and have some time here and meet the folks. And
would it be asking too much to hear just a little bit?
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, my banjo's so temperamental. Okay.
Paradise fell and the tenements grew, swept my soul across the avenue. Paradise fell and the tenements grew, the tenements grew. Paradise fell and the tenements grew, the tenements grew. Well, I'm a real live wire, I keep my suffering slow. Your child of fire and the Holy Ghost, but we keep our hand close and we play it on out. We let it play on out. In the mother's breast and the father's bone, in that city of gold with revelations unknown, parts and temperance gray. You could live that way, you could live that way. then need a rat's hat on the bruised up tracks, like a bitter train along the Savior's back. We repented in choir, silence in the song, silence in the song. Oh, when paradise fell and the tenements grew, swept my soul across the avenue. Paradise fell and the tenements grew, the tenements grew. Paradise fell and the tenements grew, the tenements grew. I'll dip you low and far into the depths of time, scan the waves along the west coastline, till you come up for air. Glory everywhere, glory everywhere. So who's your maker now? Who's your maker now? The Sultan King or the Velvet Cell? Just keep on driving that wheel. Count your steps out loud, count your steps out loud. Weight of the withering vine in this concrete boat. Close your eyes and get your coat. Get you an honest job at Peter's Gates or cigarette shop. Paradise fell and the tenements grew, swept my soul across the avenue. Paradise fell and the tenements grew, the tenements grew. Paradise fell and the tenements grew, the tenements grew.
Kaya Cater from Toronto is one of the songwriters participating in the House of Songs project this week on Mount Sequoia. She has two CDs available at kayacater.com. Rebecca doesn't have a website of her own, but you can find out much more about her and her band at themaquettes.com. That's M-A-Q-U-E-T-T-E-S, themaquettes.com. And you can find out more about John Elliott and his band, The Hereafter, at thehereafterishere.com. That's thehereafterishere.com. We also heard from Brian Hembry. Brian, along with Bernice Hembry, the duo Smokey and the Mirror, based in Fayetteville. The songwriters, the ones we just met, and the others, will be performing pop-up concerts in the galleries of Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville tomorrow afternoon, beginning at 1. And they'll perform Sunday night in Fayetteville, beginning at 6, at the Heartbreak House, that's the former Good Folk House, on Block Street in Fayetteville. A service of the Walter J. Lemke Department of Journalism in the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 FM KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Oark. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for listening. We'll end this Friday edition of Ozarks at Large with one more song from last night. We'll be able to hear the whole thing on Sunday's edition of Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9. But this is a song that John Elliott and Fayetteville-based songwriter Adam Cox finished this week. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
Over on that golden shore, the only land that I have known is full of people without a home. Come stand with me, you will see you're not alone. We will rise with the sun and march for peace with everyone when we meet over on that gold
golden shore. Is the ba-na-boom-boom-boom-boom-boom.